Well, good morning and thank you so much for inviting me here to speak to you today. It's a real pleasure to be surrounded by so much access, expertise and enthusiasm. And I could just echo what Liz has said about the expertise being very much in the room. So I'm really looking forward to having a chance to speak to as many people as I can today. So my name is Bryony. I'm a DEFRA policy advisor and my focus is rights of way policy. I'd like to talk to you about our main project at the moment, which is the Rights of Way Reforms Package. Is this the clicker for the slides?
Yes.
Yep, brilliant, thank you. So, as many of you I'm sure are aware, we are working on a Rights of Way Reform Package, and that's largely looking at simplifying procedures around Rights of Way. It's made up of two phases. The first is a primary legislation phase. So that was contained in the Deregulation Act 2015. The second is a package of secondary legislation and guidance, and that's due to commence this year. And whilst I've said it's in two phases, a key principle of this package is that legally all the measures will come into force at the same time. So the primary legislation will be legally commenced at the same time as the regulations and at the same time that we publish our guidance. And this reform package, the measures are based on a finely balanced package of recommendations agreed by a stakeholder working group. And I'll just talk about the stakeholder working group for a moment. They're a really integral part of this package, and some of the members of the group are here today. I can see a few faces from that group. So as well as these measures being initially recommended by the group, it's all being prepared, all of the measures are being prepared in consultation with the stakeholder working group. It's made up of representatives of the full range of interests of rights of way, some of which are shown on this slide. There wasn't room, or I couldn't necessarily find logos for all of them, but that's just a taster of some of the representation that is on that group. And you'll see that Natural England are on that group and they play a key role along with the others. And the group is chaired by an independent chairperson, and it's used to inform what we do in DEFRA, how we make decisions, and we're currently working in consultation with them on our regulations and on our guidance. This group works by consensus rather than by voting, and the aim of that is to make sure that we minimise potential conflict or any disadvantage, any kind of teaming up on either particular side, and that's been working really well, thanks to the expertise which is on that group. So now that I've given you a bit of an overview of what the reforms package is and how we're going about it, I'm going to talk to you in a bit more detail about one of the products of the reforms, and that's the changes which we made via the reforms to the definitive map modification order process. And I'm sure many of you will be familiar with the DMMO process. But for anyone who's not, it's the means by which local authorities update their record of public rights of way, so the means by which they update their definitive map and statement. And the aim of this is to sort of update and to ideally simplify what is quite a complex procedure. And you'll notice there's a lot of text on these slides, and I'm going to summarise as we go through, but I'm sure our Natural England colleagues will make the slides available to you, however's the most useful probably on Hardle or something like that. So please don't feel like you have to scribble notes on that. So in terms of the way that recording rights of way will change, recording historic rights of way, particularly updating the map, if we start with how it will change at the application stage, the procedure is going to be simplified in some ways which seem very commonsensical. And so if an authority already has some documents an applicant's relying on, they can use these rather than needing the applicant to send them new copies. So it's this kind of simplification which is trying to make things easier for the applicant and for the local authority. Applications will be transferable between applicants. So that's particularly useful if you've got an application caught in a backlog, which I know a lot of authorities have just due to having very stretched resources. Or, you know, if an application's from a landowner and they sell up, it can be transferred to a new landowner. We're also going to be introducing through this a preliminary assessment, and that is a means by which an authority will take an early look at an application and make a very early call within 3 months as to whether the application's got a reasonable basis. So it's useful for an authority. They make an early call and they don't spend a lot of time investigating an application which doesn't have the means to progress. But it's also really useful for the applicant to understand early on if their application is going to progress, and they can get it back and they can obviously gather the information that is needed for it to progress, and if they choose to resubmit it. And in the approach to 2026, that will be particularly useful. And I think we've got a presentation on the 2026 cutoff later, too, which will explain more about that if anyone wanted further information. There'll be changes to the appeals processes and ways in which rights of way can actually be changed before they're recorded on the map. So if we start with the introduction of what's going to be known as a modification consent order, this is going to be, on discovery of a new right of way, an opportunity for a local authority to discuss with a landowner whether it would be appropriate to accept the route as it is, as it's been discovered to be recorded on the ground, or whether it's appropriate to accept it with changes. And this can be beneficial to the landowner and to users. You know, they'll be looking at things like, does this route actually run through a working farmyard with dangers? Does it run very close to a house and compromise privacy and security? Applicants themselves, they will be able to apply to a magistrate's court for applications which haven't been determined within 12 months. And that those magistrate courts will be able to sort of determine what and how and when an authority should be dealing with this, so it can be handled on a kind of local level and on a case-by-case basis. And applicants will also have a statutory right of appeal if an authority decides not to make a definitive map modification order, and they'll be able to ask that local authority to submit the case to the Secretary of State. And when we say the Secretary of State, that normally is the planning inspectorate who make decisions on behalf of Secretary of State with the Secretary of State's guidance. Moving on, after the whole application stage and considering, you know, we've looked at appeals, there's also going to be other changes made to an order stage and the appeals stage. So one key aspect is that the process is, we've agreed it's going to be modernised. So rather than having orders, the requirement to publish orders in local newspapers, they'll need to be published on the local authority's website. And this is important as local authorities are increasingly finding that actually print newspapers, local print newspapers, are ceasing to exist in paper form. And the current requirement is actually that it has to be done in paper form, so it's making it very difficult for authorities to comply. And also with those reduced resources that Liz mentioned, the cost of advertising can be phenomenal, so it's about trying to remove the burden whilst making that information available to the people who need it. There are also going to be changes to the Secretary of State's powers concerning order making and appeals. So the Secretary of State will be able to keep an authority's decision, direct the authority to make an order, or make an order themselves via the Planning Inspectorate. And if they do that, that means the order will need to be confirmed by the Planning Inspectorate on behalf of the Secretary of State. I mean, and talking about the Secretary of State, we're trying to be clearer about what the Secretary of State's powers are when deciding a rights-of-way case. So being explicit that when it's considered appropriate, the Secretary of State can decide a case based on written representations. That's if it's more appropriate to do so than holding an inquiry or a hearing. Of course, those options will still be available. And it's also about being clear about when Secretary of State intervention isn't required. So the new modification consent order, which was changing a route before it's recorded, perhaps for a farmyard or a private garden, that can be confirmed by the authority, even if there are objections. It will be for the authority to manage that, rather than having to send it to the Secretary of State and involving those potential further delays. We're also going to be streamlining the process for orders which are challenged in the High Court. So if a route's confirmed or not confirmed and that someone has a grievance and takes it to the High Court, if their challenge is successful currently, the whole thing has to go back to the beginning. So frustrating for everyone who's involved and takes a huge amount of time and resource. So where appropriate, the judge can say actually that it's the decision alone that will be revisited if it's a point of law or an error that's been made by an inspector. So that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour of our, of the changes that we're going to make to, or the changes which we are in progress of making to the definitive map modification order process, so the ways that rights of way will be recorded. And we do hope that will make it more streamlined, more contemporary, and just easier for applicants and less of a burden for local authorities. I've mentioned that this is all part of a wider package. So there are other changes within that package which are going to affect the process of recording rights of way, which I'm sure would be particularly of interest to you. So first of all, I mean, we've talked about this incredibly long process, but we're also introducing a means by which a local authority can have a much more streamlined way of correcting errors, which are just basic administrative errors on a map, which do crop up without going through the whole process, where it's agreed with the landowner, the applicant, and the authority. They can do that, saving their resources for the other cases. We've also mentioned briefly the 2026 cutoff for recording historical routes. So that means that after 2026, unrecorded routes, whose evidence lies in pre-1949, will be extinguished. But balancing that, there's also going to be measures which mean that any routes after 2026, which are found to have a lower status, so if you've got a bridleway, for example, and it's found, actually there's historical evidence that this should have been a footpath, after 2026, that won't be changed either. So it's about balancing, keeping rights and extinguishing rights. We are looking at protective measures around this cutoff date. So that's there's going to be a transitional period in which authorities can protect rights of way that would otherwise have been extinguished. And when a public right of way is extinguished, there will be ways of maintaining a private right of way for landowners. So I hope that's given you some insights into the reforms package and where we're going with it, and particularly with recording and extinguishment of rights of way.